Farmers today are facing rising costs, volatile markets, and extreme weather. The A Better Way to Farm podcast digs into strategies to help you take control of farm inputs and maximize profit so your farm can thrive for generations. Remember to take advantage of our free resources at abetterwaytofarm.com. Now, from America's heartland, here's your host.
Thank you for tuning in today. We appreciate you listening to the episode this week. As always, Rod here at A Better Way to Farm, where we increase yields and improve profits. Guys, it's getting to be springtime and people are getting itchy, ready to go to the cornfield. I talked to two or three guys today in southern Missouri, and they said they're going to be planting corn probably the first of the week if they don't get any more rain. We know that Texas has got a good chunk of corn in already. Some of the southern boys are rapidly approaching 50% done. So as we take a look at the topic today, we're going to talk about banding of different nutrients, and we're going to talk about banding versus broadcast. And it's like everything else, there is not a one-size-fits-all. You guys know that I am not in favor of that. What works in one situation may not work in another. What works at one time of the year may not be the best to do in another time of the year. And so let's take a look. First of all, before I go to comparing and contrasting the banding versus the broadcast, then I want to talk just about the idea of banding. What are we going to do here in the spring? I read an article this morning, and I was reading what this agronomist had to say, and he was specifically talking. Someone had asked him about putting things on with a zone till, with cutting some slots, with doing some deeper tillage, so to speak, but just in a single shank, not tearing it up, but cutting it down in there. And in particular, we run the risk of drying things out. On the one hand, we think it's a great idea to prepare that seed zone and make it work. On the other hand, if we do that and it doesn't rain for a long time, we can lose our moisture. And then if it does wait a while to rain and it rains quite a lot, maybe right after we plant, then all of a sudden we can see that thing cave in. And now our seed that we thought was 1¾ inches to 2 inches deep is 3½ inches down. And we've got a whole nother set of problems. And so we need to be thinking through all of these things. You know, it's easy to read in a farm magazine and this guy does it this way, and everybody should just do the same thing. And guys, that is not true. The fact that somebody's doing it doesn't even necessarily mean it's the best thing to do. The fact that it's written up in a magazine, probably not. You know our goal here, guys. We're not going to try and tell you what to do. We are going to try and make you think. Our goal is to bring you good information. Our goal is to make you ask questions. And in that process of asking questions, figure out what is the best thing for you to do. What's going to be in your best interest? What's going to make you the most money? What's going to make the most sense in your farming operation? And so in regards to this early on, going out there with something that's going to, a knife that's going to bury something down 4, 6, 8 inches, we need to be thinking about what happens if we don't get moisture. What happens if we don't get adequate moisture? In theory, it's a great idea. Put that fertilizer in there, RTK, right back on top of it, plant right on top of it. That's if everything works perfect. I don't live in a perfect world. I tend to live in the world where sometimes things don't go right and Mother Nature doesn't always cooperate. You know, where we live, we typically here in Southeast Iowa, we normally look for 2 droughts and 3 floods, and that's all in the same growing season. And so, you know, knowing that's going to happen, that's what we've got to plan for and work around and try and get. As we take a look, guys, and say, okay, obviously, if we're going to apply NH3, if we're going to use anhydrous, we're going to band that. Yes, we are. That is correct. And the same thing still stands. The idea of putting on anhydrous and planting right on top of it, on the one hand, is great. The roots go straight down, they get into it, and all is right with the world. And the big caveat, the great big if, is what if it rains the amount? If it rains the right amount, we're good. If it doesn't, we got a whole series of problems. Number one, when it does rain, we can get that seed moving down into that trench too deep. Number two, and probably the biggest concern, is let's not lose sight of the fact that when we put that anhydrous on, almost instantaneously in that zone, it becomes very hot. It has a pH of almost 14, and that is going to kill everything it comes in contact with. And yes, I realize that there's a study out there where they say putting anhydrous on didn't affect anything. I would invite you to go look at that study and realize that the rates they were using was like 10 or 20 pounds to the acre. And it is true. If you put on 20 pounds of anhydrous, it probably doesn't kill much in the way of soil bacteria. However, I dare say none of you are pulling 20 pounds of gas on if you're doing it. You guys know our opinion of anhydrous, but we know we do work with a lot of people who are still using it, and we want to bring the right information. So here's what I'd ask you to think about. If you apply that anhydrous and you plant right on top of that strip and you didn't have adequate moisture between application and planting, you're asking for trouble. What's going to happen? Well, obviously, we've really killed all of the living microorganisms in that seed, in that zone, in that trench, and we don't want to do that. You also have a very hot spot. Again, that pH was around 14, and right there in that area, if there's no water to react with that, it's going to stay hot for a long time. And so now all of a sudden, we end up with some problems there when the roots hit it, and you know, the real deal is it's going to be V3, V4 before those roots get deep enough to get into that hot spot. And then we're going to see the wheels come off of the bus. And now we're thinking, okay, should we replant this or not? Because we're at V4, we're 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road. We gave up a month of growing season here. And then we got to decide, are we going to suffer through this? Or are we going to have to go ahead and tear it up? So one of the alternatives to consider would be if you're doing spring applied gas, that perhaps you should think about moving over. Use that RTK the other way to make sure that you're getting 15 inches from that strip so that you A, have a good seed bed so that you know you can control your depth and get it to grow right. B, you have a good microflora. The microorganisms are very healthy in that particular spot, helping that little plant get up, get running, and get going. And then you don't have to worry about those roots getting into a hot spot there later on. And again, in the presence of adequate moisture, guys, you can get away with anything. Water is the great forgiver. But if we don't get it, there's no going back and no reversing it. We can't turn the clock back and say, gee, I want to do this different, because we've already give up that month, even if we replant. So I just ask you to consider those things when you're talking about going out and doing some straight banding. Now, I had a phone call last night from a grower, and he was the one that really triggered this idea of the topic for today. When I was talking to him, it was interesting because he had bought a machine and he's going to do a throwback and use dry fertilizer in a 2x2 band. And that's interesting because Rick, myself, some of the guys listening here, you're old enough to remember probably when we went to the field in the spring and Dad took a whole wagon trailer load full of bags and we were putting 6-24-6 or some other granular fertilizer in boxes, and we were dropping that in 2x2, and we burnt a whole lot of bags, and we dumped a lot of bags, and we worked really hard. And then they started putting it into maybe I saw a lot of gravity flows with augers, and they were still doing the same thing with a dry fertilizer banded 2x2. Why did the old timers do that? Well, because they thought it just made sense. It computed in their head that if we broadcast it, we don't get as much out of it as if we band it. So how did we move? Why did we move from banding everything to going to a broadcast application? And the answer on that is because of the 70s. In the 70s, things got halfway decent. We got ground prices went up. We all had some equity. And all of a sudden, we were, you know, doing some things there and making a little bit of money for a while. And all of a sudden, we gravitated towards that favorite word of ours, easy. The two favorite words for most of us is free and easy. And almost always they lead to trouble. And when we take a look at, okay, we went to a dry broadcast, we could farm a lot more, we could go a lot faster, we could throw it out there and cover a lot more acres, and it was easy. And then the 80s came along, and the wheels come off the bus in agriculture and all the rest of the economy. But we were stuck on easy. Sometimes when we get stuck in a place, we just can't help ourselves. We get stuck in that easy. This was easy, and this is what we're going to do. This is what we want to do. It's going to work out great. We're just going to keep doing the same old thing. And I remember so well listening to people there in the 80s. And the most common thing I heard, and I'm hearing it again today, is I hear people sitting around saying, something has got to change. You know, we can't have $4.10 corn and have these inputs be like they are. And I'm not arguing that. This is not a sustainable thing, especially if we do it the same old way. But the fact of the matter is, anytime I am tempted to say something has got to change, I remind myself to substitute the word I have got to change. I can't change what John Deere does with the price of tractors or combines. I can't change what the seed companies are charging for seed. There's a lot of things I cannot change or control. but I can change how I do things. I can change how I do my inputs. And so when I was talking to Rick last night, he actually had talked to guys who have college degrees, and they were arguing with him. He said, if I ban this, if I go in 2x2 or 3x3, how much less fertilizer can I use? And these guys all said the same thing. It doesn't change. You have to use it all. You have to use the same amount. And Rick and them had an argument. He called me and he said, man, am I losing my mind? I was like, no, Rick, here's the deal. If you guys will get your hands on that dry fertility handbook, or you'll get the handbook from Midwest Labs, or there's all any place that you're looking in agronomy manuals, they're going to tell you that banding is always 2 to 3 times more effective than broadcast. What does that mean? That means that if you're broadcasting 200 pounds of something, if you band it, you can get by for somewhere between 70 and 100 and get the same amount into the plant. And then, of course, they come back and they talk about the fact, well, yeah, but we're in a build program. And I want to share with you guys, we picked up one client here in the last 10 days. He just called up and he said, I listened to your podcast. I went and looked at last year's soil test. And then I pulled some soil test out from 15 years ago. And for 15 years, we've been in a build program. And guess what? In 15 years, they had barely moved any reading. And he said, we're going to do something different. We can't continue to do this. And he's going to make the jump. And guys, those people who are saying you got to broadcast a boatload of fertilizer, you know my deal. Everything that happens in agriculture is good for someone. The question is who? Banding is good for you, and it's bad for those of us who sell nutrients. Why? Because you need less. You should buy less, and you should make more money. And we got to be honest with ourselves. And guys, those are not my numbers. This isn't something I dreamed up. This is available in multiple books. You know, people who go to college have studied this, or they should have studied this. They should have been talking about the fact that when you broadcast and then you go to band, that the banding is 2 to 3 times, no matter what the product, no matter what it is, it's more effective to put it in a band somewhere in proximity to that row. We can pick up a 2 to 3x advantage there and cut our rates. And then I want to jump on over, guys, and talk about banding in a 0x0. In other words, going directly right on that seed. Guys and girls, when we go right on the seed, now all of a sudden the books are going to tell you that it's about a 5x efficiency factor, minimum of 3, gravitating towards 5. What does that mean? It means it's 5 times more efficient to put something on the seed. Now, obviously, not everything is suited to put on the seed. We need to be looking at a high quality product with a low salt index that's going to be seed safe. And quite honestly, 10340 was never built to be row placed. It was built to be broadcast. And you can do a little research on history and find that. Look underneath the Tennessee Valley Authority. That's who developed that product. But when you look at a product that's going to go right on the seed, low salt, orthophosphate, and for me, a potassium amount. I don't like a 624 nothing, a 1034 nothing, an 824 zero. I don't like any of those because that corn plant needs potassium early. In the first 50 days, the corn plant actually needs 4 times as much potassium as it does phosphorus. And when we start looking at that, we go, okay, well, we got to get it out of our soil. We do. Potassium in the soil will not become available till a soil temperature of somewhere between 65 and 70 degrees. And none of us are waiting on that. And so what does that mean? It means we starve our plant for potassium when it's a baby, and we should be force feeding it. When we get a newborn, we take care of them. We give them liquid vitamins. We make sure they've got all the nutrition that they need. Let's do the same for our baby corn plants. Let's go out here and give it every nutrient that it needs in the right amount, and let's put it right in the seed trench and maybe some extra over 2x2 in order to meet that need of what that baby plant has going for it right there. Guys, it has a lot of potential. And if we stun it when it's a baby, we give up that potential. So what do we want to do? Row place the right thing. But guys, no matter what you're going to use, whether you're going to use a high quality starter in the trench, whether you're going to use something not as high quality 2x2, if you're going to be a throwback and buy a machine and start putting on dry 18460 and 005217, some potassium sulfate along with some DAP or some MAP, even using those products, you're going to get a bigger bang for your buck banding. That's the fact of the matter, guys. We want to band our nutrients. Is it easy? No, it's a little bit harder. But guys, good and easy are not brothers. They are not even cousins. And so we've got to make a decision here on what we can do. And this is one of the things that when we say something's got to change in agriculture, this is something that we can change. And guys, I don't want you to be scared of banding. It doesn't take as much time as what you might think. A lot of us, you know, are old enough to remember back when maybe we were using a 7217 or some other starter doing it 2x2 and we're putting on 20 to 25 gallon because that's what it took because it was a polyphosphate. We didn't get much into the plant and. And instead of being 5 times efficient, it was only 2. And we felt like we had to fill up every 2 rounds. We're talking about products now where we're using 5 or 6 gallon to the acre. And so the fill up time is pretty minimal. And it doesn't take long. As a matter of fact, with the equipment we have today, I promise you this, you can fill your starter tanks faster than you can fill your seed box. And that makes this a whole lot more palatable and easy to do. Guys, we do believe strongly in this, and we believe that there's a lot in it for you. If you have questions about it, we'd love for you to reach out. We'd like to talk to you. But we would ask that you consider this. And in the event that you start talking to someone that's on your team and they start arguing that broadcast and banding takes the exact same amount of fertilizer, it might be time to think about replacing that guy as a teammate. We have to be honest with ourselves and we have to have people. I realize that a lot of these people are friends, but you shouldn't have to lose money to have a friend. And the fact is, guys, get a book. Start reading. Go to Midwest Labs. Get any agronomy handbook from a college class, and it's going to talk about the value of banding over broadcast. I'm going to close with this. I have an individual named Phil who hauls a lot of our fertilizer, and I appreciate him very much. He does a great job. And I called him this morning, and he said, Rod, you guys are running me into the ground. He said, this thing has really, really taken off. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, you know, I've been hauling for you for a lot of years. And he said, just in the last couple of years, it has really taken off. A lot more people are coming around to this side. Now, Phil, he's a trucker. And it was interesting to hear his view from the outside looking in. He goes, you know, I think it's great. He said, what you guys are doing is it's better for the farmer because they're using less fertilizer and they can make more money. Better for the environment because it's less salt and it's a lot friendlier to the soil bacteria. And he said, it's just amazing to watch how the mindset out here in America is changing and rolling towards this. And more and more and more people are making the jump and going to banding. And more people are making the jump and going all the way to liquid row placed right on the seed because they know that's where the cheesecake is. Guys, we appreciate you listening today. Thanks for tuning into the episode. As always, we count you guys as tremendous friends. We appreciate your time, and we really do hope you're having a better day.
You're listening on the Verbal Crowd Network. Find more great shows at verbalcrowd.com.